Well, I want to invite you now to turn in the Word to Philippians chapter 4. As we prayed this week and asked the Lord, Father, what would you want to give to your people this coming Sunday? What truths from your Word would help your people and us as pastors? What truths would you want to give to us to help us in these days? Our hearts and our minds went to Philippians 4 in what may be a very familiar passage. This morning we look to the Lord as we turn to His Word. And before we read it, just a few words of context by way of reminder. This is the Word of the Lord that was written through the Apostle Paul. This is written to a church just like ours. This is a church that Paul had a hand in planting. He saw this church come together and he wanted to see this church flourish, and they were experiencing various difficulties. And so he wrote to this church to encourage them. And he's writing from a prison cell. He's writing because he was jailed for the cause of the gospel. And in the midst of that situation, Paul writes these words. I'm reading from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What an incredible promise we have from the Lord right there in verse 7 this morning. What an incredible promise that we can carry with us throughout these days. God's peace will guard our hearts and our minds. Last Sunday, as we were in Psalm 46, we talked about the fact that God's protective presence goes with us in all times. This morning, we're focusing on God's protective peace. In fact, if I had to boil down what I believe Paul is saying to us this morning, here's what it would be. Ongoing, rejoicing prayer brings God's protective peace. Ongoing, rejoicing prayer. You know what that yields? It brings to our hearts God's protective peace. See, God wants to protect you and He wants to protect me, our hearts and minds this week. God intends to do so. And as we pray, as we reach out to the Lord, as we make our requests known to Him, He desires and He will do that for us this morning. That's the premise of this word this morning for us. God wants to minister to you through these promises. So we're going to take some time to look at each of these promises carefully this morning in the Lord together. First of all, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Let's read it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This rejoicing is actually an imperative, if you will. It's a command for us. Why? Why would God, through the pen of Paul, command us to rejoice? Well, there's a reason why. And here it is. Because God knows what our souls need. Our souls, my soul, needs to rejoice. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of my circumstances, my soul needs to rejoice. And because God knows that we need that, He says, rejoice in the Lord. Always, again, I will say, rejoice. He wants us to get this into our hearts deeply. See, the reality is rejoicing in the Lord at times, is this not true? At times, it's easy for us to rejoice in the Lord. Things are going well for us. Things are headed our direction. Things are on a roll. It's easy for us to rejoice. However, there are times, as we all know, when things are not going the way that we would like them to go, things are coming in and crashing in our world, and we're a bit bewildered by those things. In the midst of that, God is saying to you and to me rejoice. Notice the location of our rejoicing. And this is the key for Paul. Because remember, Paul is in a jail cell. He's in that dingy old jail cell and he's writing these words. How can Paul rejoice in the Lord? Well, because his rejoicing is not in his present circumstances. His rejoicing finds its location in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. And so that's the call for us this morning, dear Grace Community Church. It's to rejoice in the Lord, not in what's going on in the world around us. Rejoice in the Lord. For what can we rejoice in the Lord? You know, you may think, Jeremy, you have no idea of the circumstances that are facing me now. And I say to you, you're right, I don't know. But I do know some things that if you're in Christ this morning, you can rejoice in. I wrote a few of them down. We can rejoice in the fact that God is sovereignly in control over all things. That means he sits in authority over things like kings and presidents, over sickness and disease, over employment or joblessness. He sits in authority over abundance or times of need. He sits in authority over coronaviruses and their course in the world. We can rejoice because God is sovereign. We can rejoice because God is always good. Nothing that is ever tainted with even the slightest bit of evil will ever come from our God. God is always good. We can rejoice this morning that he has remembered us in our rebellion against him. We were rebels. We weren't looking for God. He came for us through the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the scriptures say? The scriptures tell us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Dear friends, though you may have calamity, you can rejoice that your God has remembered you. He has forgiven you. We can rejoice in these things, that he remembers our sins no more. We can rejoice that though we will experience trouble in this world, he promises to be near to us. He promises never to leave us. We can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in that every day. We can rejoice not only that he's with us, but that he is coming back and that he will take us to himself, that where he is, there we may be also in the presence of the Lord. And what does the psalmist say? In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. We can rejoice that death no longer has sting over us. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Who wouldn't want to be with the Lord? I want to be with the Lord. I can rejoice, regardless of my circumstances this morning, that death has lost its sting, and we will spend all eternity rejoicing with this King, this benevolent God who has made himself known to us, has forgiven of our sins, and now we hope in that eternal future. So, friends, this morning, we hear this writing from Paul as God has preserved it for us. On March 22nd, 2020, in the midst of these days, God is communicating to us, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say it, rejoice. He has remembered us. He has been gracious to us. He has been kind. The theologian R.C. Sproul reflects on this reality when he says, for the Christian, there can be joy in the midst of suffering. Joy that transcends the pain of the moment. In that statement, I want to ask you, do you believe that that's true? Do you believe that there is the ability to have joy in the midst of difficult circumstances? Well, Paul, writing from this old prison cell, communicates us this reality, that as we rejoice in the Lord, the pain takes a back seat to the promise of God. The pain subsides when we remember that God will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Dear friends, let us rejoice in the Lord always. At the close, I'm going to talk about a few ways that we as families, as individuals, that we can rejoice in the Lord. But may it be true, dear friends, in these days, that God would enable us as His people to actively and presently and daily rejoice in Him. Now, I want to say to those who would again say, hey, you don't understand my circumstances. It's really, really hard to rejoice. I say, I understand that. And may God give you the grace to lift your head to Him. But here's the truth of it. When we rejoice, we are actively calling forth the promise of God to come to us. We are actively calling forth on God as we put our affection and our hope in Him. We're saying, Lord, we need You. As we rejoice in You, we declare our great need. And dear friends, let us get about the business of rejoicing. Yes, we have to pay attention to many things. We have to obey the laws of our land. We have to love our neighbor. Let us get busy with rejoicing in the Lord together. Rejoice in the Lord again. I will say rejoice. Paul continues then in verse 5 and 6 when he says, do not fear. Do not fear. How does he say that? Let your reasonableness, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. See, God knows something about you, and God knows something about me this morning. He knows that at times we will be tempted toward anxiety and fear. See, these fears and anxieties, they're not part of God's original plan for His people. When Adam and Eve were created in that Garden of Eden, God intended that they be free of anxiety and free from fear. And for a short while, Adam and Eve did enjoy that freedom from those things. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in a place where we had no fear, no anxiety, no struggle, no wonder, will there be enough? Can you imagine that? And yet with the introduction of sin into the world came decay, came fear, came anxiety, and with it came death. And because God knows that about us, He has planned and purposed that we might be able to walk without fear, without anxiety, without those concerns on our hearts. He says it, let your reasonableness, in other words, when we lack reason, we are yielded to fear. He said, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Why? He answers his own question. The Lord is at hand. Brothers and sisters, this morning, you and I, we can be reasonable. We can be free from anxiety. And in this cultural moment when many are experiencing anxiety, increased levels of anxiety, you and I can walk in the freedom from those things by remembering what? By remembering that the Lord is at hand. He is close to us. At its very core, what is anxiety? What is at the core of this thing called anxiety? Anxiety is not believing that God will supply our needs. That when you boil it all down, that's at the core. Anxiety is not believing that God will supply our needs. Because anxiety forgets that God is at hand. That's what anxiety does. It forgets about the fact that God has promised to His people to be near to them. And that's what anxiety does. It pushes out the memory that God is at hand, and it brings to itself, like an unwelcome guest, the fears of the unknown and what's going to happen and will there be enough? Am I going to have enough supply? That's what anxiety does. God does not want us to walk in anxiety, but he has given to us the key to freedom from that anxiety. And it is to remember that the Lord is at hand. Last week, we heard about this through Psalm 46. And what did the psalmist say? But that the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. He is a help that is very surely found. The Lord is reaching to you through His Word this morning to communicate to you that He is a help that is very surely found. The Lord, dear friends, in your circumstance, in your home, in your job, in your finances, in your food supply, the Lord is at hand. May God help us to remember this. May God help us to say, Lord, I don't see where all of this supply may come from, but I'm going to trust you because you said you'd never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me. You said I'm never going to be in a situation where you're going to desert us. And so I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to walk in faith that you, in fact, are at hand. See, this is why I need this word this week, my friends. See, I care about my family and friends that I know that are older and may be susceptible to these things. I'm wondering how our culture will respond to the various things that are happening within our culture. I'm wondering about those things, and I confess to you, me too. I can have fears and anxieties. And this word, preserved for us for thousands of years, comes again to our souls saying, fear not. Do not yield yourself to anxiety. I am at hand. I will be with you and I will help you. Dear church, let us rejoice in this, that the Lord, He promises, He's at hand. He's here to minister His grace to us. And He's given us the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside of us to help us. You know, the flesh is weak, right? We all know that. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Holy Spirit inside every believer comes alongside of us to minister those truths in our hearts, to say to us in the still and in the quiet, when we might be tempted to fear, He says to us, I am at hand. Take courage, my son and my daughter. I am at hand. Being reminded that the Lord is at hand, our hearts then turn to want to cry out to Him and let our requests be made known. And so how does Paul instruct us? He says, number three, pray with thanksgiving. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul is saying a lot here, so I want to take a few moments to walk through each phrase together with you. He says, in everything, give thanks. So in all circumstances, we've covered that. We rejoice in the Lord, not in our circumstances. So in everything, by prayer and supplication. Why does Paul differentiate the two? I think part of the reason why Paul differentiates the two is because we can have all kinds of prayers. We can have rejoicing prayer, and we can have prayers of confession, prayers of thanksgiving. And he's saying by prayer and supplication, what is specifically supplication? Supplication is a kind of prayer that is particularly earnest. This word supplication could also be translated petition. And so if you can imagine, if your mind's eye, someone who's walking around with a petition, are those the kind of people that are easily dissuaded from what they want? No, they're not easily dissuaded. This is what he's saying. By prayer and being not easily dissuaded, let us run to the Lord with thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is such a powerful antidote to grumbling and complaining and even to suffering. When we are a thankful people, when we can rejoice in the midst of suffering, that is a powerful antidote and enables us to experience the grace of God. So in all circumstances, in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does that mean? It means to cry out to Him wherever you are, even right now, on your couch, in your living room, in your kitchen. Cry out to the Lord. He is near. He is at hand. He wants to minister to you. So let your requests be made known to God. It's kind of like God is inviting us up onto His lap, where we might sit with Him and just talk with Him as the mighty and caring Father that He is. He cares about the things that are on your heart this morning. Go to Him and let Him know the requests of your heart. He wants to minister grace to you. And by receiving His grace, we will be able to walk in His peace. I was reading a book by D.A. Carson this week, and he said this, very concisely said, the way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. I really like that. That helps me. The way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. Dear friends, God has given us the grace to be able to walk without anxiousness in these days, as we take it to the Lord, as we bring our prayers and our requests to the Lord. Dear friends, you and I, we can walk without anxiety as we bring our requests to the Lord. The way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. May the Lord help us to remember that He is near and He wants to hear from His children. Finally, as we pray, as we bring those requests to the Lord, we can expect God's protective peace. Look what he says, this great promise in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. What does it say? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See that promise there? He's saying to us this morning, He will guard this peace that passes understanding. What he's saying here is this peace may not make sense based on your situation. You may still be called to walk through a valley of what may seem like the shadow of death. God doesn't just pluck us out of difficulty. He joins us in the difficulty. At times He delivers us from those things, but at times He simply wants us to walk with Him, to look at Him. And as He says this, He promises that we will experience a peace that passes understanding. And what does that peace do? How does it operate in our hearts and in our minds? This peace guards. So picture a guard. A guardian, and in fact, as we sang this morning, those heavenly angels that are around us, picture those as sentinel guards around our heart and our mind, the very epicenter of what we think, the very epicenter of where we believe. The peace of God will guard, like that guard on duty, not letting other thoughts or other untruths coming into our hearts. It will guard us, dear friends. It will help us in this battle for faith. I read this past week also the story of Thomas Brooks. Thomas Brooks was a Puritan pastor back in the 1600s in London, England. And in London in 1665, the Great Plague broke loose. This was the bubonic plague. It decimated over a quarter of the city of London. And this pastor, while everyone else seemed to be running out of the city for safety, for their own well-being, this pastor stayed put to help the people of God, to help the people in his neighborhood around him. And listen to the words that were written centuries ago. I pray that this would encourage us. You know, this time of difficulty that we're experiencing, we're not the first people to go through times like these. In fact, people have experienced so much worse. Listen to what he said about prayer in these times. He says this: prayer crowns God with the honor and glory due his name. And God crowns prayer with assurance and comfort. The most praying souls are the most assured souls. The most praying souls are the most assured souls. Dear friends, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A few thoughts by way of application now as we draw to a close. How do we actively rejoice? Let's find some creative ways to actively rejoice. And if you have some thoughts of ways that we can actively rejoice, email them to us and then we'll send them out, because we want to encourage and strengthen one another. There are ways that we can do this. One thought is this: write out your rejoicing. So take a 3x5 card or a piece of paper. Write down all the ways that God has blessed you. Write down all the ways that you have cause to rejoice in your Lord. And then maybe fold those things over and put them in a bowl. You know what our prayer is? That we would have bowls in our house that would overflow with rejoicings in the Lord. And then maybe put that bowl on your kitchen table or where you regularly go. And once a day, you just take out one of those rejoicings that you've written down, and you actively say, Lord, today, regardless of my circumstances, I rejoice in this. And you rehearse the great truths of the faith because God has been faithful to his people. So I call this a blessing bowl. Let's make blessing bowls in our house where we just have these rejoicings recorded, that regardless of how our day has gone, we can pull one out and rejoice in the Lord. Another thought here: rejoice with worship. In our churchwide email on Friday, March 13th, so we sent it out almost a week and a half ago, we sent a link to a Spotify station that was created specifically with songs and hymns that speak to the peace and the hope of God in turbulent times. You may already have your own playlist. That's fine. I just want to encourage us as a church that we might have our minds filled with music. Music just lifts our souls, filled with music that declares the faithfulness of God. See, the music on our playlist often directly correlates to the song of our hearts, right? If we're listening to music that lifts our hearts and our heads to the Lord, then that's what's going to be the effect of that music. And so let's fill our playlist with songs that speak of God's goodness and his strength and his nearness to his people. One other note: a few weeks ago, while we were still at Penn View, I mentioned this app called Dwell. Well, the creators of the app, given what's going on in our world, have said, hey, we want everyone to have 2 free months of this app called Dwell. What is Dwell? It's simply a scripture reading app. You can set music to it. You cannot have music, but it's a scripture reading app that you can put on as you go to bed at night, and you can hear the scripture just roll over your heart. You know what that's doing? That's just reminding you once again of the promise of God. In order to qualify for the 2 free months, you have to have permission, if you will, from the church. Chris the other day went on and clicked on that. So if you're a part of the church, you can just go there. We sent this in an email on Friday. I just want to encourage you. Here's 2 free months of this powerful tool that God has given to us that we might rejoice in him. Thirdly and finally, read books that cause rejoicing. Some of you may find yourself with a little bit more time than usual, and some of us may not, but regardless, let's read books that cause rejoicing in our hearts. And that, of course, begins with the Word of God. It begins there. But there are other books and resources as well. One of those for me right now is The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. I've told you before, I love reading this book annually because I can't put that book down without being encouraged and challenged in how to respond in adverse situations. That's not the only book I'm reading, though. There's one I just want to encourage you to this morning. It's called Rejoicing in the Trinity by Michael Reeves. This book, it's not just because it has a happy title. This book helps me to rejoice actively in who God is, in His character, and in His nature. These are ways that we can rejoice in the Lord together. Finally, in just a moment, Chris is going to come and lead us in song. But let me conclude with this. Is your heart troubled this morning? Then I just want to encourage you, take it to the Lord in prayer. Let your requests be made known to God. And so a few ideas to do that. You can hold Zoom prayer meetings amongst one another. The other night, on Friday night, we had a Zoom all-church prayer meeting. We're going to do that again. But this is a great way. It's a free thing that we can pray with one another and for one another. And as we take it to the Lord in prayer, let me encourage you with this old hymn that may be familiar to you. It says this, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Dear friends, the Lord is communicating to us that ongoing, rejoicing prayer brings God's protective peace. Dear friends, let's rejoice in the Lord always. Let us not yield ourselves to fear, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let's let our requests be made known to God, so that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let me pray with us. Would you stand together as we pray, and then we will sing in just a moment. Our Father, thank you for your word this morning. Your word has legs, and it speaks to us now on this Sunday. And the truths that you preserved for those people in that church in Philippi, those same truths, Lord, we grasp hold of this morning. And we say, Lord, could it be true that you can help us to live outside of fear and outside of anxiety? Can you help us with that? You say to us, yes, I can. Remember that I'm at hand. Come and tell me the burdens of your heart and the peace that I have that surpasses all understanding will come and will guard your heart. And Lord, we say, Lord, help us. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief and cause faith to rise in our hearts that we might rejoice in the Lord. Again, we say, rejoice. Father, would you fill our hearts? Would you minister grace to us? Lord, we are people who feel our need for you today. We feel our need for you, in fact, right now. God, we pray that you administer grace to us as we rejoice in you and as we come to you. Lord, I pray too for anyone who may not know your ultimate peace through the forgiveness of your sins. Lord, I pray that you would help them to understand that you came to forgive their sins. That's why you sent Jesus Christ, that we might be forgiven by faith in him. Lord, this morning we're praying, grant faith, grant hope, grant trust in Jesus Christ who came to save. Lord, and now as we conclude by rejoicing, we lift high your name. You are worthy of all praise. As we sing this song, would you lift our hearts and our voices, and may it be a resounding praise to your name. This is our request. This is our prayer, Lord. Hear the praise of our lips when we pray this together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.